Well, good morning. As I shared a little bit, as I was welcoming everyone, we are closing out a series today that we've been in for the last 5-6 weeks called The Lies We Believe. And really what we've been doing over those last 5 or 6 weeks is we've been kind of unpacking some of the lies that our enemy, and we do have an enemy, that's what we believe around here, Satan has tried to get us to buy into some lies that are very destructive and can have some devastating consequences on our lives. And so we thought a lot about how do we close out this series? And I got to thinking just about one of the lies that I know God has tried to tell me on many occasions in my life. And that's that the things that I've been through, the things that I've gone through, the times I've screwed up, the times I've had things happen to me that weren't even my fault, the things that have left me broken, and that God has worked through, that nobody really cares about that story. And that my story can't really help anybody else. And so the lie that we're going to unpack here this morning a little bit is that my story doesn't matter. And what I want you to hear this morning is that nothing could be further from the truth. Your story matters. It matters big time. And so I'm going to open up God's word here for a little bit this morning. And it's a little bit different type of moment than maybe if you've been coming for the last couple of weeks. It's a little different. We're not going to have any of the words up on the screen. I'm just going to open God's word and I'm going to read from it. I'm going to ask you to just listen to this account for a moment. It's found in Luke chapter 8. If you do have your Bibles with you this morning, I encourage you. You can open them up this morning. If you've got your phone app, I encourage you to fire that up and follow along. I'm reading from the NIV version for any of you that, again, have the app and you want to get on the right version. But the headline for this story that we're going to read here in Luke chapter 8 and verse 26 is called Jesus Restores a Demon-Possessed Man. This is what it says. It says, they sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. It says, for a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. So this guy is in rough shape. He hasn't worn clothes in a long time, and he's living down in the tombs, essentially where the dead people are. It says, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me. For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. So this man is being tormented, essentially. And he recognizes, because he's got these, basically Satan's little minions are controlling this dude, and they know exactly who Jesus is. They know he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's God. And if he wants to, he can destroy them with a word. And so they're freaking out a little bit. So he starts yelling at Jesus, don't torture me, stay away from me. And it goes on, it says, Jesus asked him, what is your name? Legion, he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. Now, this is where the story gets really interesting. I love this. I don't know, maybe, you know, God's got a sense of humor, I think, sometimes. And he does something here that is just, it's just weird. I don't know how else to describe it. Like, as you read this, it's weird. Even for me as a pastor, after many years of reading this passage, it gets a little bizarre. This is what it says. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed over and down the steep bank into the lake, and they were drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and they reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. Yeah, I bet they did. You don't see that every day. People go out into the town. They tell everybody about it. They come to see what's going on. It says, when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. How did this man go from what he was to all of a sudden being completely healed of everything. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. This is the part I don't want you to miss here this morning. So this man has this crazy encounter with Jesus, this almost ridiculous story, this miraculous thing happens to him. It says, the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. So this man wants to be with Jesus now. He's just freed him, saved him, delivered him from an awful life. And I would want to go with him too. I want to go home to be with Jesus. This is what it says. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return home and tell how much God has done for you. Return home. Go back to your town and tell everybody that you can find about what has happened here today. So the man went away and he told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. You know, all of us have a story. You have a story. I have a story. Some of us have a story of how Jesus came into our life and resurrected us pretty much from the dead. How he came into our life and changed our entire situation. Maybe for some of us it was addiction. Maybe for some of us it was depression and anxiety and worry. Maybe for some of us it was a past of abuse and neglect. I don't know what your story is. I don't know all of you in the room today, but I know this about you. You have a story. And for some of us, Jesus has reached into that story and he's changed everything. And what happened in this particular account is that Jesus reached into this man's life. He freed him from the bondage that he was under. It happened to be demon possession. And he gave him a new life. But he didn't let him come and follow him and be with him in that moment. And I've always thought that was interesting. He tells him to go to the town that he's from and tell everybody that he can find about what Jesus had done. Why does he do that? You'd think Jesus would want as many people to follow him around as possible. Well, see, this is what I believe. Following can look very different in each of our lives. And in this particular moment, what Jesus needs from this man to follow him is actually to go and to share the story that has happened to him, to tell more people about the good news of Jesus, what has transpired, how his life has been changed. See, I don't know about you, but there are days, the older I get, and particularly on the days that just stink, where I'm like, Lord, just take me home. You've saved me, God. You've done the work in my life. You've transformed me. I'm ready. Take me home. I'm done with the challenge and the struggle of this life. But here's what I believe, and this is what I want you to hear this morning. If you have made a decision to follow Christ and you are still here, there's a reason for that. There's a purpose in your still being here, because this is what I believe. The second God doesn't need us here anymore, we're gone. He has our days numbered. He knows exactly when he's going to take us home to be with him for all eternity. But if we're still here, we have a mission to accomplish. And I believe he's looking at all of us and he's saying, okay, I've done this work in your life, and now I need you to go share this with people. I need you to tell the story of the good work that I have done in your life, because your story matters. It matters to the people around you. There is a friend or a family member or maybe even a perfect stranger, some random person that you meet in the checkout line at Giant Eagle that might need to hear your story today. And it might change their life forever. The challenge, I think, for most of us, and I think it's the challenge for me still some days, is having the courage to actually be able to share that story with people, to be vulnerable enough to admit, you know what, my life wasn't always perfect. It's not perfect now, but because of Jesus in my life, he's changed everything. He's given me a whole new perspective on this thing. And at True North Church, what we want to be is a community where it's okay to admit that we don't have it all together. And that the only reason that we can press on in this life, that we can have any hope or future, is because of what Jesus has done in us and is doing through us. We believe everyone who's a part of the body of Christ has a story to tell. And that the challenge today is for you to begin to share that. And so we're going to do something this morning that's a little bit different. I'm not going to sit up here and talk the entire morning. Some of you are like, yeah. We're going to actually have a live testimony this morning. And that word testimony is just a really churchy word to say someone's going to share their story this morning. And we're going to hear from somebody who's just like many of you and just like me, has a past, has a history, and Jesus has worked through that. And so I'm going to invite Kristen Arminas up here, and I want you guys to give her a big round of applause. Give her a hand, because it takes some courage to do what she's about to do right here in this moment. And my hope and my prayer is that as we listen to her story, that you would recognize that your story, maybe very different from hers, but your story of brokenness, your story of pain, your story of how God has worked through you, or maybe right now you're here and you're not a Jesus follower, and you've been searching and you've been looking for the peace and the hope that Jesus might bring. My prayer, my hope this morning is that through the testimony of a believer, through the shared story of somebody who's been through some stuff and had Jesus work through that, that we might be moved to be open and vulnerable and say, you know what, I need your help. And I recognize that my story has value, and I'm going to begin to share that with others. So I'm going to ask Kristen to share. We talked about this a little bit this week. I know you're a little bit nervous, but
I'm doing it afraid.
Yeah, but I think that's part of the beauty of it, is that even in her apprehension, she's like, I know that maybe my story could help somebody. And even if it just helps one person who's sitting here, I believe God will have done a great work this morning. So I'm going to ask Kristen to share a little bit about her testimony, what God has done in her life, and I believe you're going to be blessed by it. Go ahead, Kristen.
So thank you guys for taking the time to listen today. Thank you, Justin, for asking me to do this. Yeah. As he said, my name's Kristen. The thing that I like to focus on whenever it comes to my story, to be honest, is how God has worked through everything that I've been through in my life. But in order to get there, you have to share the hard stuff. So I will kind of try and condense it as best as I can. And if anybody would want to come and talk to me after, please feel free, because I've always said that if I can help one person, that's worth it. So whenever I was born to a mother and a father who were, I'm 100% Greek, and my dad came from a part of Greece where they favored their sons, not their daughters. So my dad growing up had a relationship with my brother, but not with me. He didn't like me simply because I was a girl. And so before I was able to go to court and say, you know, I don't want to spend time with him anymore. All I would hear is, you're stupid, you're fat, you're ugly, you'll never amount to anything. Nobody will ever accept you. No man will ever want you. You'll never have any friends. And even to this day, I still fight that. And so growing up hearing that, you begin to believe it. And so my mom divorced my dad, and she ended up getting remarried. And then I became the ugly stepchild, and went through a lot of things while they were married. And broke away from that, and then I got married, and I was married for 7 years, and that was an abusive relationship, just like my dad had abused me. I just had a series of abuse my entire life. And again, I kept hearing, you're worthless. Nobody will ever want you. This is, you got what you deserved. And I stuck it out in my marriage, and I knew, you know, God doesn't like divorce, so I have to do what I have to do. And I had gone to a Christian school. I was surrounded by families who were really solid families, and I felt like an outcast because I came from a broken home, and then I ended up getting divorced too. And again, in my head, you'll never amount to anything. Nobody will ever want you. 7 years of that, after a lifetime of feeling and hearing all of the things that I went through, I surrendered myself at that moment. I gathered up the courage. I wasn't working at the time. I moved in with my mom. I got a job, and I got divorced, and kind of tried to rebuild my life. And it wasn't till I fell down, literally on the ground, hands and knees, and I cried out to God. I just surrendered myself, and I was like, you know what? I'm done. I can't do this anymore, so you take my life. You do what you're going to do, because I'm done trying. Please impress your will for my life upon my heart and guide me. And I began to see God everywhere. And he began to work in ways that I had actually prayed for but didn't even know that I wanted, if that makes sense. And I thought, to be honest, at the time I was 32, and I was like, I'm going to be by myself now for the rest of my life. This is how it's going to be. And then in walked a man that wanted to unpack my baggage. And I kind of pushed it, and I still do, but he's there, and he's been there, and he is a godsend to me, and I know that he's from God because of the way he entered into my life, and the ways that he's been working, and True North, and Justin, and Autumn have been a big part of that, and it's just incredible to see how he has moved in my life and what he's done. What he's taken from my past that I thought was so broken that it wasn't salvageable to where I am today. And that's why I can sit here and talk to you guys about it. So that's, in a nutshell, my story.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Can we just, yeah. You know, as I listen to that, I think one of the things that saddens me is just how many people have, maybe not that exact story, but how many people have a story from their past of brokenness and feeling worthless, and parents who didn't come through, and, you know, just stuff. Like, life is hard. And I think about my own life, back on my own childhood and growing up and things that I went through, and how God can just take any situation and work in it and work through it and use it to, even though we've gone through the fire, to like refine us and make us who we are. And I think, you know, one of the things that Kristen shared with me was just the fact that, like, even though all that stuff happened to her, she wouldn't go back and change it, because it's made her who she is today, and it's given her this story, this testimony to be able to share with other people. And I believe the people who have been through the most, they've got the greatest story to tell. And so here's what I want to do this morning in the few minutes that we have left together. I don't know if that story hit you, resonated with you. I don't know what you've got from your past. I don't know what you're dealing with right now here in this moment. But I want this church to be a place where it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to go, you know what? I need somebody to pray for me in this moment. right now with whatever, maybe you're struggling in your marriage. Maybe you got a kid that's just wild and crazy and you don't know how to deal with them. Maybe you're in a relationship issue right now and you're just struggling with that. Here's what I want you to know. It's okay. We all struggle with those things. And what we need to be is a community of people who surrounds each other, prays for each other, comes alongside of each other and has each other's backs. And there's no shame in that. And so here's what we're going to do this morning. I'm gonna ask the band to come back up, and we're going to sing some songs. And we're going to open up the Lord's Supper and his table right here. And if you've never taken communion before, here's all this is. This is an opportunity to remember what Christ has done for us. If you're a Jesus follower, this should mean everything to us. This is an opportunity for us to say, okay, God, I recognize what you did for me on the cross. And as we drink the cup and we eat the bread, we're saying, I remember the blood that you shed for me and the body that was broken for me. And in this moment, as I drink it and as I eat it, Jesus, I want to lay down my burden at your feet. Take away everything that I'm wrestling with and struggling with right now. And he's big enough to take it on his shoulders. But it's also a moment where maybe we need to have a moment with God this morning. I don't know where you're at or what you came in with this morning. But we're going to have some folks I've asked to come up and to be available to pray with some people. So I'm going to ask them to come up now. I'm going to be up here if somebody needs prayer. And so in this moment, I want this to just kind of be a free moment here where you can commune with God, take communion. If you want to bring it to the quote-unquote the altar, and you want to get down on your knees and cry out to God, we're going to pray for you. If you got something specific going on in your life that you need prayed for, don't be ashamed. Every one of us in the room right now has something going on in our life that we could use prayer for. And so I'm encouraging you to have the courage. And I think what was so cool to me about what Kristen did is sometimes you just need somebody. You just need to see somebody else. Take that step of courage. And maybe it will move you today. And maybe today could be a day where we lay down some burdens. And we go, okay, God, I'm at the end of my rope and I give it to you. I give this situation to you. I give this circumstance to you. I give my past to you. And so I encourage you in this moment. Don't let this moment pass. At the very least, let's just have a quiet moment with your God. And if you don't know Christ in this moment, I just want to encourage you. Would you just at least consider giving him a try, following him? I promise you this, he will change your life. We'd be more than happy to pray with you, talk with you about what that means and what that looks like. Right. So I'm going to shut up now. I'm going to let the band play and sing. And I believe God wants to do something in our hearts this morning.